I want you to grab your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. As we start talking about in this world, and chapter 5 starts off talking about really about the church and the importance of church and how God set pastors, elders, deacons, bishops, however you want to put it, in charge of the church to protect the church. And in here he talks about, as well as believers, that we are to fellowship with one another, encourage one another. And I can't think of anything more so. The book of Hebrews tells us not to forsake the assemblies together. And I think that's just beyond, coming in together in one building. I think the call as Christians as we go forward is that we need each other. We need brothers and sisters in Christ. I need that encouragement from you, and you need that encouragement from me when we can pray together. Lift each other up. That's really the core of what this church is about. And not just coming in and sitting down for an hour a week, but truly, to be a family, especially in dark times. Because, folks, I believe things are going to get worse. Now, we might get over this hump, we might get over this election, but we see the trend that this world is going on, and it's not getting better. I like to think I'm not that old. Depends on who I talk to. I guess probably they call it middle age. Because I got to the point where some of these younger ones look at me and say, "Oh man, you're just an old man." And I got some of you look down at me and say, "You're just a kid." So I'm right smack down in the middle of all of this. But within my lifetime, I'm shocked, especially in this nation, of things that used to be wrong are now considered right. Things have just turned upside down. That I remember when I was younger. Everyone went to church, right? Maybe not every week, but everyone was associated with a church. And today, our pews are empty and people don't even care anymore, right? And that becomes imperative for us as a church to bind each other together in love and fellowship and encouragement outside these walls. But then Peter turns here in chapter 5 and he warns that there's an enemy out there. Right? We see what's going on in this world and we see what's taking place, that there seems to be a coordinated effort. And it's funny because, over the years there's been conspiracies of, the Illuminati is out there and they're pulling the strings behind. Right? There's an elite world view out there that they think, all these puppet masters are out there. Maybe it's the UN who has their agenda and they're going to take things all over. And while we may have some physical things going on, the Bible tells us, look, there's a spiritual warfare taking place. There is an enemy spearheading and leading and directing this, even groups that may be totally disconnected. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by the brotherhood in the world." And my goal was to go through both of these, but I really started, as I write down and started to concentrate on the first part, talk about the devil, talk about Satan. This is going to end up being a two-part. In America today, the latest statistics, I keep quoting the statistics recently because there's just a new one that just came out this past spring about where America is in religion. And it's fascinating to look at some of the numbers. Right now in America, 56% believe that there's a devil. 56%. So almost half the country don't even believe he exists. Which I think falls right into his hands. Because if we don't believe that the enemy is out there, then how do we fight him? And how do we stand against him? How do we recognize him? And the Bible's really clear, right? We talk about what's going on, all these things. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." Now look, we might think my problem might be with the Republicans or with the Democrats or with the Libertarians or the Green Party. That's most of them, right? I don't want to leave anyone out. Right. The what? The birthday party. There you go. You sound like Elizabeth. She's all excited. But we would look at all these, what's going on, and we may think, the problem must be my mayor, my governor, right? This is my problem. This is the fight that we're having. And the Bible makes it clear that's not the fight. There are spiritual forces in play, putting things in place going forward. And if you take a look at the book, Revelation tells us that things are going to get worse. And there is an Antichrist that's going to establish himself up. And he's going to be sort of the spearheaded point of Satan himself, trying to establish his kingdom here on earth. And folks, we waste so much time and energy fighting in this physical realm things that are really spiritual. And we kind of poo-poo things like prayer. We talk about this armor of God. We're going to talk about next week, because those things are vital for us as we stand against the devil and what's going on, the evil that's all around us. And folks, it is evil, and it is working today. Just real quick, I want to give you this. There's a list I put out of talking about what the Bible says about Satan. We want to know who the enemy is so that we're equipped to face him. First one is, Satan is a personal being. Right? A lot of churches today will kind of go, well, there really isn't a devil. That just kind of fantasy world. There isn't really a devil out there, but he's just sort of a personification of all the evil that's around us. Anyone who holds that view has not read the scriptures. Job chapter 1 tells us that Satan comes before God. How about that one? Right? Oftentimes we think, well, Satan's down in hell and he's got his little kingdom down there. He's got his little pitchfork and he's got his little horns, and that's what the idea of the devil is. And right now the Bible tells us that actually Satan is allowed to go into heaven. And one of the things he does is accuses the saints. And that's what you see the book of Job falls out. Satan, he's a weasel. And he comes up before God and he wants to accuse the saints. And he wants to say, "Yay, do you know what John did? Oh, he says he's a follower of you. Oh, yeah, watch this." That Satan at this point is allowed into heaven and accuses the saints. But praise God that we have an advocate, the Bible says. So anytime Satan wants to bring up my charges, Jesus says, "I paid for that." And we see the book of Revelation that towards the end of Revelation that he is kicked out of heaven for good. In Matthew chapter 4, Satan comes up and approaches Jesus and tempts him in the wilderness. Satan is real. He is a person, a creating being. Actually, here's a list of all the names in Scripture. Actually, I don't know if this is all of them. These are all the ones that I found in my search. There's probably a few I left off. But these are all the names of Satan that he goes by, describes his character, his motives, and who he is. Actually, if you're going to try to parse these all up, it really comes down to who and what he does in our lives. The first one, he is our enemy. Satan is not our friend. And the word goes out into this world, and as the world follows him and follows his schemes, that folks, we're going to find it becomes the enemy of the church. But he is an enemy, and he is working, I would say, overtime to take us out. Do you believe that? Satan is working to mess up your life, to mess up your walk with the Lord. The book of Job is a good example. Satan comes up before God and says, look, I've been all over the world. And God says, have you seen Job? And he's like, oh, well, you're only protecting him. Let me at him and we'll see. We'll see if he'll follow you. Actually, Job is put on trial and Satan is the enemy who comes up and says, you know what? He only follows you because you give him good things. You take away his good things and Job will curse you. And some of what we go through here is the enemy is accusing us and really pushing us to see how far we can be pushed before we turn our backs on God. He is our enemy, seeking to tear us from our faith. Second one we see here is he's a liar, or he deals in lies. And oftentimes what we see in Scripture is actually what he uses as lies is he actually takes his God's word and twists them. We see this in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say? Oh, no, no, no. Right? You'll be like God if you take of the fruit. Jesus, each one of the times of the temptation that Satan used was Scripture to tempt him. And folks, that's why it's imperative for us as believers to know God's word. All of it, the context of it. And seek it out daily in here because Satan will twist it. How many churches today aren't following the truth of Scripture but are following lies and philosophies of this world? And they'll dabble just enough, just a little bit, to justify their beliefs or what they want. And yet it's totally opposite of what God says. Lies. To deceive us, to blind us if possible, from the truth of God's love. To cause doubts. As a Christian, have you ever felt that nagging doubt? God, are you really there? Is this all real? Lord, can I really trust you? Folks, those thoughts just aren't random thoughts. I believe they're from the enemy who will tell you lies, distort the truth, to lead us astray and lead the world into damnation, into hell. The third one is we see all these names come out that he is a tempter. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, we don't have to go around and look for a demon behind every bush. You know, I remember as a kid telling my mom, you know, I got in trouble. And I told her, well, the devil made me do it. Right? I mean, you want to use that as an excuse. It's not my fault. The devil did it. He made me do it. Well, can't give the devil all the credit because the Bible says that we are sinful. The heart is wicked and deceitful. The book of James tells us that we sin when we are drawn away by our own temptations. I have my own sinful appetites, my own desires. And I wrestle with that. As a Christian, we're told in the book of Romans that his spirit now comes in us. And we can have victory over that because now we are the children of God. We are renewed in our spirit, but we still have that old man, that old nature. We still have that sinfulness that still nags at us. And if we're not careful, we'll give in to that and we'll yield to that sin. We are all tempted in different ways. So we don't have to just pull out, well, the devil made me do it because I can get in a whole lot of trouble all by myself. But Christian, don't be fooled. It is no coincidence that in your life that temptation comes. Because Satan likes to dangle it right in front of us. Right? To draw us in. He knows us so well that folks in our lives, that no matter what we do, he knows the buttons to push in your life to try to drive you away from God. Right? And that's why, you know, sometimes we find ourselves in the same circumstances over and over and over again, because Satan knows, oh, if I do this, this is going to trip John up. So let's put this block up in here. Let's push things. Let's tempt him. The last one we see in the descriptions and names of Satan is that he destroys. He is a destroyer. He will ruin anything he touches. From the Garden of Eden through, he ruined mankind and brought sin into the world. And in our lives, as he brings sins, we yield to that sin, that, folks, he will destroy us. The end of sin is death. Satan wants to destroy marriages. He wants to destroy the church. He wants to destroy this nation as they follow him. He's a destroyer. Now, we just had Halloween, and it's interesting because you see the little kids out there with the little devil outfit. And oftentimes we have this picture. It's either sort of a character, you know, Satan with his little pitchfork, his little, you know, horns, and his little tail. Or sort of the scary image you watch the horror movies. I used to be into horror movies, and now I can't stomach them. I'm like, oh, I don't like that spirit of fear anymore. But we got to be careful, because Satan, if he showed up, and he shows up in our lives with the little horns and the little red tail, but, there's Satan. We'd spot him a mile away, and we run him away, and he's a little smarter than that. Since we're seeing himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing for his ministers to also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Folks, Satan is not going to show up in our house in a scary way. But he's attractive. Deceptive, appealing to our desires to trick us and to fool us. Oftentimes he'll show up as a slick talker, telling us what we want to hear, and through his attractiveness draw us away. Satan is a real person. Satan is a created being and not equal with God. Right? We often will see this picture that, well, God reigns up in heaven and then the devil reigns down in hell, right? That they're equal. Ezekiel 28, actually, if you get a chance, Ezekiel 28 is a great chapter that talks about Satan and his fall and who he is. But verse 15 says, "You are perfect in your ways from the day you were," what? "Created. Till iniquity was found in you." God is God. God is ever present, all powerful, all knowing. God is supreme. Satan is limited because he's a created being. Actually, the Bible tells us that he started off as an angel in heaven, that he was beautiful. But pride was found in his heart, and he ascended up. He says, "I will be like the Most High," and in his rebellion, God cast them out. The Bible says that when he was cast out, he took a third of the heavens with him. Now, don't get me wrong. Satan is powerful. He is a powerful angel. He's more powerful than you and I. But he is limited. He can be at one place at one time. He doesn't know all. His power is limited. But make no mistake, this picture of God and the devil are, you know, you ever see the little angel and devil on the little shoulders of, you know, in the cartoon? And God is not equal to Satan. God far surpasses. And praise God, as you look at the end of the book, Satan's going to have to give an account to its almighty creator God. Satan does not rule hell. You know, once again, we go come back to that idea that God reigns in heaven and the devil reigns in hell. No, actually, Matthew 25:4 says, "Then I will say to those on his left hand, depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Actually, hell, or the lake of fire, is actually going to be the holding place. It's the eternal place of torment that was prepared, not for us, but for the devil and those that followed him. Book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 10 says, "And the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever." Satan will be judged. He will be found guilty. He does not win. That, folks, his victories are temporary in this world. Praise God, we can sneak at the end of the book. But Satan does not rule. In here, he is let forth into this world, and he's having his way with men. But hell, that place of torment, will be his punishment forever. Satan is not all-powerful, so he can only do what God allows. And we talk about the book of Job. Job chapter 1 says, "So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to his face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." That is clear. We see even what Satan is allowed to do is only allowed because of God. That Jesus told Peter that the Satan longed to take him and shift him like wheat, right? Sometimes Satan will come down and ask permission to shake us up. And sometimes what we're going through are these trials in lives to see what will it take to separate us from God? What will cause our faith to fail? But folks, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Now, Satan can only do what God allows. He is limited. Along those lines, God is not Satan is not omnipresent. He uses his network to tempt and deceive people. Satan can't be everywhere at once. You know, am I so important in my life that Satan himself comes after me? No. But he's got his demons and minions who do his bidding. Remember we talked about when Satan was thrown out of heaven, he took a third of the angels with him, right? A third of all of them are now demons, that we call them. And they are out to help and assist and do Satan's bidding here on earth. But Satan can only be at one place at one time. And lastly, see, he works to nullify the effect of the word of God. He blinds the intellect of those who do not believe, so they cannot understand the gospel. That while he tempts us and while he accuses us, and as he does these things for in the believer's life, but right now he is really active in this world, setting up his philosophies and his ambitions in this world. And we see this playing out today. Pray for our country as we turn away from God, we turn away from his word. What we do is open the door, and Satan is having a heyday, I believe, in our nation today. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, "Whose mind the God of this age," talking about Satan, "has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God should shine on them. The first thing he turns around is he takes the gospel, the salvation that God has offered, and turns it around, and then he distorts it. Have you ever witnessed to someone? You play out the, you know, salvation, it seems so plain. We are sinners. That should be a non-starter. All of us have sinned. And Jesus died on the cross to take our punishment. And if we will accept him, he will come in and take our sins away. That seems so simple. Have you ever explained the gospel to someone and they look at you like, I don't get it? Or I explained the gospel to a gentleman once, and he was dying, and in that hospital bed, as I explained the gospel, I said, do you want to accept it? He goes, no. I'm like, why not? He goes, I'll be okay. Why? Satan has blinded his eyes to the gospel. The hostility we see in this nation today is turning up and is increasing daily against Christ and against his church. Do you see that? As they turn away from God, Satan is clouding their minds. In Isaiah, we're told this, is woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. An upside world, upside down world. Isn't that what we're living in today? The wrong, we're told daily, is right. And the person who's trying to do the right thing, who's trying to be God, maybe you felt this in your own life, are being persecuted and torn down for your faith. Satan has clouded their eyes. Ephesians tells us this, is it in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Satan is that prince and power of the air. In here he's influencing and he's channeling and directing this world. And we see this playing out in all the philosophies. All the educated people who reject God. Paul warned the Colossians, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. And folks, this country is being led on the broad path, the road that leads to hell, by his philosophies and empty deceits. According to the traditions of men, according to the base principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Folks, this nation is turning its back on God, on prayer, on faith. And we're seeing that coming back and reaping tenfold of what's been laid down. Folks, I pray for this country. We need a revival. Just this past couple weeks, I've been going through and watching our nation and what's been washing over. And folks, I pulled out things that now are in the public square. It used to be fringe, but now these things are mainstream. They're coming into our town, into our church, where Christians are falling for these things. These are satanic philosophies that's taking place and root right here in the U.S. That within your lifetime, things that used to be called wrong are now called right. That you're old-fashioned, ignorant, for believing what God has said. And we see this played out with abortion. Folks, what kind of nation kills its own babies? It's of Satan. And now it's become so mainstream. Just recently, that our Senate tried to pass a bill that would say, you know what, there's an abortion, a baby comes out alive. Let's protect it. And 41 of our senators turned around and said, no, we're not going to bring that up for a vote. Shame on our country. Anti-religion. This country was founded on religious freedoms, that we can worship as we see fit. But now the philosophy of this world is telling us, you know what, you can worship at home, you can worship in church, but let me tell you something, don't bring it out into the public square. Don't live out your faith. That just in recent years, we've turned to a point where we are being sued, Christians are being sued for not going along with the world, all in the name of tolerance. Our religious freedoms are being taken away. Anti-Israel. Folks, God's not done with Israel, and God promises to bless those nations that bless Israel. I'll tell you something, I was excited just recently when we turned around and acknowledged Jerusalem as the capital. Anti-family. Then here we redefined family. God says it's one man, one woman raising children. That's his desire, raising godly children. I don't care if you send your kids to the homeschooling, to public school, private school. They're still your kids. They're your responsibility. And you will have to stand before God for how you raise them. And yet so many have just turned over and told the state to raise our kids. The destruction of the family. Redefining marriage. Back when all this started, remember I talked about God has ordained government, the church, and families. And we reworked that and redefined it to however we want. And this last one is redefining that gender. Bible's clear, he created a male and female. And we've distorted and twisted and confused. So much so, just a politician just said a couple days ago that an 8-year-old should be able to choose if he wants to be a boy or a girl. Folks, these are lies, all from the pit of hell. And it's funny because these things are ones that are so clear in Scripture, but because we want to blend in with the world and go along with the world and be blinded by that, and we don't want to stick out, that folks, I'll probably take some heat for just declaring, thus says the Lord. So be it. Woe is us. This devil is having a heyday in America. So we'll get into part two next week when he tells us to stand and resist the devil and he'll flee for you. It's good and it's positive, but I do want to leave you with an encouragement word. I just can't send you out there and say, don't know. Folks, there is hope and joy because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Do you believe that? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit to open our eyes and we can see. He can help us to stand on the truth, no matter what the world does. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We'll look at that next week. But encourage yourself, Christian. Do the right thing. Stand for truth, no matter what. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are aware of the enemy. Lord, he is real, and he is on a tear, and he is roaring. Lord, help your church to stand. Lord, we pray for this nation. Lord, Satan has blinded their eyes through deceit and philosophies. And Lord, it is leading him down the broad road, the road that leads to destruction. And many are the ones that find it. But Lord, help us to stand true. Let me, Lord, help us to warn those around us. And Lord, help us to stand. Lord, we ask these things in your name. Amen.